don't even seek public office unless you want to serve other people. If public service, if service to others isn't your main goal, forget it. Because that's the bottom line of public service. I don't care whether you're appointed or elected. That's the only reason people should be in public office, is to purely serve other people.
We'll tell you who that is in just a minute. First, I'll tell you who is sitting across the table from me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. It's Randy Dixon with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Kyle.
And the voice we heard?
That was John Paul Hammerschmidt, a longtime congressman from the 3rd District up here in Northwest Arkansas.
When the 3rd District used to extend all the way over?
Oh, it was a good chunk of the state.
Yeah.
It shrunk quite a bit now. But, yeah, it was quite sweeping. And the only Republican in the Arkansas delegation was John Paul Hammerschmidt.
For years he was the only Republican.
Well, he was in office for 26 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, 13 terms. So he was quite an individual. He grew up in Harrison.
Right.
Born and raised, graduated from Harrison High School. As a matter of fact, when he was 16 years old.
Overachiever.
Yes, and went to the Citadel in South Carolina, and then received an appointment to the Naval Academy in Annapolis. But instead of that, he decided to go up here to the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, and then Pearl Harbor was bombed, and he joined the Army Air Corps and became a pilot and flew more than 200 missions overseas, and received several medals and commendations, and was quite a hero during the Second World War.
Hmm.
After that, came back quietly, went back to Harrison, ran the family lumber company, I believe they had.
And now, I understand, at least apocryphally, that the Hammerschmidt family was well thought of in Harrison, not in any small part because of how they helped out during the Depression. That is what I was told by people who had also grown up in Harrison.
That's my understanding,
okay.
Yes, that they were very big in the community and instrumental in sort of getting the average person through that.
Yes.
Right. So in the meantime, he became involved in the Republican Party. He campaigned for Winthrop Rockefeller and became very involved in the GOP in Arkansas. And he was approached, and I believe it was by Rockefeller, but other people in the party wanted him to run for Congress against, and it seemed impossible, but Jim Trimble, longtime Democrat. I believe he'd been in office for
more than 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. I think it 22 years, 11 terms, and he won, barely.
Right.
I believe it was 53%. So he edged through, but from then on, it was pretty much smooth sailing for I guess the rest of his career.
There was one challenge, and we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. And it was the closest it ever came.
Right.
But anyway, he wins this term in 66, and then we have very little material from that first term, but we do have him from right after he won his second term. He's with his wife, Virginia. By the way, they were married for 56 years,
wow.
I believe.
Wow.
But he thanks the voters of the 3rd District for his second win.
I wish to express my deep and sincere appreciation for the overwhelming vote of the confidence accorded me by the voters of the 3rd District. It is a great honor to serve as their representative in Congress. And I look forward to the challenges of the 91st Congress and the opportunities to work for the people and the communities of the western third of Arkansas. I thank them again for according me this important public trust, and I pledge to them my greatest effort in their behalf. I thank all those who helped me. Although I had no formal campaign organization, I have many, many friends across the district, and I want to take this opportunity to thank them so much for their efforts in my behalf.
Okay, so it's 1968. Everybody in Arkansas is a Democrat. He's the lone Republican in the delegation. Every congressman, every senator is a Democrat except for him. But this was a different time.
Yeah.
And here he is in 68 talking about how, I mean, people get along.
Well, it seems to me that it has some definite advantages to the state of Arkansas. I feel very comfortable as far as how it feels to me personally. But I want to assure you that the Arkansas delegation works closely together. We often see eye to eye on issues, more often than not, as a matter of fact. I enjoy daily visits with Wilbur Mills and Took Gathings and David Pryor. They're men for whom I have great respect and genuine affection. And I think that it opens up communications to the other side of the aisle to erase negativism that Arkansas has never really had this opportunity to do before. I think it's a definite advantage.
Let's go to 69, the next year. We're talking in the heat of the Vietnam War and a lot of protests, especially on college campuses around the country. But he seemed to think that that really wasn't happening in Arkansas, and apparently we were a little exempt from that sort of behavior.
Federal legislation may be needed. I'm very thankful we don't have this problem down home. I might comment that I think the reason for that is I think we have schools, some down-to-earth schools. Now, I wouldn't want to particularly single out any one, but where the teachers and the students relate to what their business is all about them getting an education and about them going out in the world to make a living. Now, I noticed that most of this unrest, as I see it, has been around a lot of coastal schools and particularly in colleges that are not work-oriented, but liberal arts colleges that have some far-out ivory tower ideas, and they may be fine. But to get to your question, I think, yes, maybe legislation is needed. There's been some bills introduced. There's been a bill introduced in the House that says if school officials don't act forthwith on this problem, then federal aid money can be cut off if they have a problem in their school. I haven't joined into that bill because I have great confidence in our own administrators down in Arkansas. And I thought it might have been an insult to them for me to enter into any such legislation. But if it's for the good of the nation, I'm sure that I would support this kind of legislation.
It's John Paul Hammerschmidt speaking in 1969.
Yes, but he continued to talk about that and referred to protesters as the loud dissident minority.
Mm-hmm.
And this is him a few years later when I guess he does realize that maybe this is happening in Arkansas too.
A vocal minority of dissidents are dedicating their every effort to again dividing our republic. And they do this in the name of wonderful peace. But they have forgotten that peace is wonderful only if you combine it with freedom. Our nation would not long be free if we bowed to the will of this articulate but misguided minority, and we indiscriminately reduced our defense budget to the point of jeopardizing our national security.
Let's talk about his accomplishments.
Yes.
And he made a lot, especially for Northwest Arkansas, and his biggest was the Buffalo River. He sponsored the bill in 1972 to prevent the damming and came up with the idea to make it a national river, which really saved it. The Pryor Center sat down with him in 2009 and did an extensive 6 to 8 hour interview.
Scott Lunsford, right?
Scott Lunsford did the interview. And here is an excerpt from that 2009 interview talking about the Buffalo River.
I thought, well, you know, a free-flowing stream, and I grew up on it, and it's the last vestige of the White River that isn't dammed. And bottom line, it just makes sense to leave it that way. And the groundwork's been laid to kill the dams, with Faubus especially. And they could have been revitalized, but I thought they shouldn't have been.
so I just made up my own mind that we ought to have a national park. And so I began to talk with people.
If when John Paul Hammerschmidt was in office, if you brought up his name, whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you liked him or didn't, you'd always hear about his constituency relations.
Yes.
That he came back and the feeling was he didn't go Washington. And if you went up to D.C. and you had a concern, he or at least his chief of staff would see you in the office. He always got
anyone on staff.
Right.
They had instructions that your number one priority is to take care of the people in our district.
Yeah.
And he had everyone on the same page.
Yeah. You'd hear that from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I mentioned, right, John Paul Hammerschmidt, if he were alive today, I firmly believe would still be serving the 3rd District. He was never
going to. If he wanted to,
exactly.
Sure.
He was never going to be defeated.
He came close.
One time.
And that was in 1974. Along comes this young,
charismatic
University of Arkansas law professor, an upstart young fella, who challenged him, and his name was Bill Clinton.
Well, of course, I'm very happy to say that the main strength I've seen so far is the way this convention is unified behind my efforts, my candidacy. I really am grateful for the warm support that was expressed today by Senator McClellan and Congressman Alexander and Congressman Thornton, and I look forward to that continuing to be a major issue. I understand there are still some differences between the delegates on the platform, and if they become inflammatory, I suppose it could prove a weakness, but I do not expect that they will. From all that I can hear, we're going to get together on the principles and the progressive platform that our party needs to bring to the people, and I look for it to be a uniformly strong convention with no particular weaknesses.
Now, I love this next cut. Oh, were you going to say something there?
No, go ahead.
Love this next cut because I've never thought of the race
the
way this analyst does.
Well, Jim Ranchino was the longtime political analyst for KATV, and coming up, when I get some more material, and I'd love to do a profile on him because he was a fascinating man. But Jim Ranchino sat down with Steve Barnes, and they were looking at all the races around the state, and Steve asked him about the 3rd District.
Well, in the 3rd Congressional District, a Democrat is challenging what has been described as an entrenched Republican in solid Republican territory, at least for Arkansas. What is Mr. Clinton's future now against Congressman Hammerschmidt?
Well, I think probably the resignation of President Nixon has turned what might have been a close race in the 3rd Congressional District, and this is just one man's opinion, into probably another victory for Hammerschmidt. The one thing that could have heated up that contest was for Hammerschmidt to have to go through House impeachment proceedings and make a decision whether to support the president or not support him, you know, and this would have created an issue in that campaign. As it is now, that issue has been diffused, and I guess you're going to go back running to the old issues of, the economy is in bad shape and this kind of thing.
So, one, Mr. Ranchino is suggesting that if Nixon was still embroiled,
he might have lost.
That John Paul Hammerschmidt might have lost, that there had been enough anger.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Number two, I guess I didn't realize how long Steve Barnes has been around.
I know.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And even before Channel 7, he was at the CBS station, KTHV Channel 11, as a Cub reporter. So, he's been around for a long time.
His voice has always sounded great, hasn't it?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Great pipes.
All right.
All right. So let's go back and let's hear John Paul Hammerschmidt's take on it, and this is from that prior Senator 2009 interview.
That race in 74, see, that was the Nixon year. Mm-hmm. Bill started that campaign early, and I knew he was a serious threat because, for one thing, I still had a Democrat district. And it was a Democrat year that year for them to win. They picked up more House seats that year just about like they did this last time.
Yeah,
Bill's the only one of those that didn't win. You know, all these other guys, Chris Dodd, Norm Mineta, Tom Daschle, all those guys came that year. And Bill, running in a Democrat district, was the only one that didn't win, and I felt good about that because he should have gone in. But that's why Bill occasionally remarks, well, you're responsible for me being in the White House, you know, because what he means is if I beat you, I'd have probably gone a different route.
Right, right.
Although knowing Bill, he'd probably find his way in the White House anyway.
One way or another.
I love that take. I love that take. And the acknowledgement there that, you know, Bill Clinton was a once-in-a-generation politician.
Right.
That he would have found his way to the White House somehow.
I love the way he put that, yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting to think, what if?
Mm-hmm. What if that would have completely changed paths.
Although.
But it still could have wound up exactly, in the same place. Yeah.
All right, speaking of Steve Barnes.
Steve Barnes, you know, I think we've discussed this before. About once a month, KATV would send a crew up to D.C. just to catch everyone up there, and mm-hmm. they'd spend a day or two, and they would do their reports from Washington. So Barnes, this was shortly after Ford took office, and he talked to Hammerschmidt about his rating of Gerald Ford.
In conversation with Republican Hammerschmidt, it is obvious that the Arkansas lawmaker does not approve of many of the Ford administration's programs and personnel, but he does not express the angry sense of ideological betrayal voiced by the GOP's more vocal conservatives.
Oh, I wouldn't say that I'm politically disenchanted with him, but I haven't agreed with him by any means on many of his suggestions. I guess that's too long a story to go into, but I know he's trying to do in his own conscience what's in the best interest of the country. It's awfully hard for a Republican president to be a leader whenever he has a 2-to-1 majority against him in the Congress. And no matter if he does something quite well, he probably won't get full agreement with it up here on Capitol Hill just because that majority is so large.
Hammerschmidt does not believe Ford is on the right track with many of his programs and is dismayed by the president's choice of executives to implement those strategies. But that by no means indicates that Hammerschmidt is ready to follow the extreme right wing of the GOP into an exploratory third party of bedrock conservatism. This is Steve Barnes in Washington, reporting for News Scene 7.
Another thing about Hammerschmidt is that he was on the Public Works Committee, and what that means is that they oversee transportation and the infrastructure, which is highways, interstates, and that sort of thing. And so he put a lot of effort into improving the roads and interstates, not only around the country, but around the state. And this is just sort of something him talking about the lack of money available, especially for Arkansas.
State Highway Commission and Department receives something like $21 million a year. It was about $16 million a year. That's sort of peanuts compared to highway needs in developing and upgrading our primary system. I would say that if you picked a figure of what our needs were to really get our primary roads in shape, that you'd be talking about $400 or $500 or $600 million. And so, therefore, the state may have to devise a way to raise more money
on its own.
Although there's a big argument going on in the Congress now between the Congress and the administration about what and how we shall fund our transportation needs and balance up our transportation needs between urban mass transit, highways, airways, and so forth.
So, some of the other things I just want to throw out there is that there's a fellowship at UA Fort Smith in his name. If you'll remember, the federal building that's right off the square here in Fayetteville is named after him. And, you know, we had mentioned he was a pilot in mm-hmm. World War II. He was inducted into the Arkansas Aviation Hall of Fame.
I did not know that.
So along with his commendations, he was in the Hall of Fame. So he retired from Congress in 93 after 26 years in office. And he died in 2015 at the age of 92.
He was just a humble sort of guy.
He was.
That's how I remember him.
Right. Yeah. But he definitely, like we heard at the first, believed in public service.
Right.
And with that in mind, he had just a couple of more thoughts maybe we could close on.
Sure.
Okay.
So you want to – I'll just say this right now. You're Randy Dixon with the Arkansas, with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. You are here most Mondays?
Yes, every Monday if you'll let me.
I let you. All right. Okay. So we'll let John Paul Hammerschmidt end this week.
Okay.
It's easy to do. That's why we're here on Earth, after all, whether you're in office or out of office. If you're a shoeshine boy, a banker, or a congressman, your goal is to serve other people. I mean, that's my philosophy about life.
And you can find so much Arkansas history by placing Pryor Center into a search engine. This is Ozarks at Large.